What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Thursday, November 21st. Happy birthday to my beautiful wife, the love of my life, Kristen. Love you. I know you're not listening to this pod, 0% chance, but it felt wrong not to start the pod and say that date and not say happy birthday. This is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, we have more Jalen Hurts news. It feels like it just won't go away. Well, just when things are going well for the team, there's just a little something that pops up. And look, I don't think this is a big deal, but Jalen Hurts, a limited participant in practice on Wednesday. We're going to get into that in a minute. But first, what to keep an eye out for today, as we always do. 2:15, practice begins. We'll see if Jalen's out there. I'm assuming he will be. And then at 4:20, the locker room opens, and we'll hear from players there. But the big news from the day down at the NovaCare was that Jalen Hurts was a limited participant in practice due to the ankle injury. It's what's listed on the injury report. The ankle is why he did not practice. Now, what we now know is that he's taking part in a strength program that the team started last week to help him, right, to get him more prepared, which is why he was a limited participant. So Jalen was asked about that, and, you know, he did say, acknowledge somewhat that like maybe part of the reason we're doing this to get them, make him better for the postseason, where in the past he hasn't been 100% going into the postseason. Here's my opinion on this. I think Jalen is fine. I think we've seen him play. He's playing well. He's going to play on Sunday. So I think this is more a case of managing something than like an actual like injury that people should be worried about. The only red flag I think I would raise about this is, why would the team create a strength program that causes him to miss part of practice? It just seems like a weird thing to do. Like, if he's missing it because of the strength program, why not plan it so that he can practice on Wednesday fully? So between this and Sirianni kind of letting it slip that he had the ankle injury, I think like he's definitely dealing with something. But as I said when this initially happened, trust your eyes. I think Jalen is mostly fine. Now, is it, you know, if he's limping in a game? Yes, that'll change things. I think, you know, he could hurt his ankle more. That could be a problem. But my antenna is not up on being worried about it. My antenna is just up on the way they're handling it. Seems weird to me. So that's the exciting Jalen Hurts news of the day. In other news, Bryce Huff undergoing wrist surgery, procedure, I should say. So he'll be out a couple weeks. The goal is to get him ready for the playoffs as well. Bryce Huff has been playing less over the past 2 weeks. He says it's because of the wrist. Obviously, this kind of backs that up a little bit. I think Bryce Huff has been playing well the past 2 weeks. I think that whenever you lose a player that plays a lot of your third down snaps, that's not nothing to just gloss over. I know fans don't think Bryce is playing well, but when you're missing someone that's playing a lot of key third down snaps, you, that's a big deal. So we'll see how long till Bryce Huff is back. My guess is he will be healthy and playing in the playoffs. I'd probably look at those final two games of the season for Bryce to return. In other injury news, Jalix Hunt, who could be getting more snaps with Bryce Huff out, didn't practice due to an ankle injury, so that's not ideal timing. Milton Williams did not practice due to a foot injury. Nakobe Dean was limited with a groin injury. Britton Covey, full participant. My guess is he'll be active on Sunday and play against the Rams and added back to the roster. Devontae Smith did not practice with the hamstring. He's definitely dealing with something. I don't think this is like a rest makeup excuse. I think he's legit dealing with a hamstring injury. We saw him limping off the field on Thursday after the Washington game. He didn't practice prior to the Washington game. I think he will play on Sunday. I do, but I think Thursday will be key in whether or not he's out in that game. So that's the latest on the Eagles' injuries. Today for the pod, we're going to do a little something different. I spent all day Tuesday at Chickie's and Pete's and got a chance to talk to all the hosts, talk a lot of Eagles. It was a ton of fun. But I got a chance to spend an hour with Jack Fritz and Rob Ellis, which is not something I normally get to do. So I'm going to play that hour for you. I thought it was a lot of good conversation. Are the Eagles better than the Lions? Are they legit Super Bowl contenders? Some good hypothetical questions. And anytime you get Rob Ellis talking a little bit of Sixers, a little bit of Phillies and Flyers, you gotta share that with the masses. So thank you guys for listening. Big game coming up. Got the Daily Pod for you Friday as well. But we're going to end this with me, Jack Fritz, and Rob Ellis on WIP. So I feel like I have to end the pod this way just because it's the right way to do it. So until next time, he's Elliot. I'm James. Here's Jack Fritz, Rob Ellis, and me.
That's right. It is Fritz at 6, Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is Jack Fritz alongside Elliot Shore Parks and the GOAT, Robbie.
Yeah, let's go.
Whoa.
Well, I see
you
all
the time.
He's
the GOAT, yeah.
I see all the time. I haven't seen Rob in forever.
I know. Yeah. They broke us up, man.
By the way, Rob, looking great tonight, man.
I'm just trying to keep up. I knew I was going to see Elliot.
Well, yeah, it's not often I'm not the best-looking person on the stage, especially with Jack, but you look great.
Well, listen, man.
You guys are 18.
People are saying I'm down 20.
You do look good, too.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at you, man.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's all those Phillies wins that we're getting.
Yeah. No, never mind. But, yes, so we are live here at Jiggies and Pete's in South Philly. Travis Mannion Foundation going on right now. We'll be celebrity bartending. You guys count celebrities. You know, I'm just a guy. And Lane and Jordan Mailata are going to be on their way over here. So it's going to be a great time. So get over here tonight. It's going to be special. It's going to be awesome. So, but we also have to talk about birds. At the half here,
yes.
Because the Eagles are, believe it or not, Super Bowl contenders. And
believe it or not,
yes, it would not have been the case a month ago.
No.
People were freaking out a month ago, Robbie.
They were.
I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
And before we start getting into a lot of the nitty gritty with this team, Elliot, you were just over there. I think it could be a big story. What's going on with Jalen and this lower body injury as they go hockey on us?
Yeah, that is an interesting decision by them. Look, I think Jalen is probably dealing with the same ankle injury that he's dealt with earlier, that with the day he was listed as rest and slash ankles because of Nick Sirianni, obviously. I think Jalen's fine. I do. Like, we watch him play. He looks like he's moving well out there. I actually think he's moving better than he was last year. I think Jalen will be a full participant tomorrow. I think he'll play on Sunday. But anytime it's the franchise quarterback and they're being somewhat cagey about it, I think it's obviously worth monitoring.
And how was he at the press conference? Because I feel like whenever there's an injury with Jalen, he's very like, I'm fine.
So I was over here for the press conference.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, what you want me to do? I have to be on air.
No,
but,
I know.
Yeah. So I unfortunately can't. But I can tell you what he probably was like.
A little tight?
My guess is
his answers on the injury were very short. Probably didn't say much. And there was moving on.
A lot of rent was due, Jack.
A lot of rent was due.
So, Robbie.
Yeah.
Where are you kind of at overall with this team? You know, obviously a month ago with Meltdown City, even, you know, after the Browns game, they've been back to being, you know, the Eagles. Where are you kind of at overall with this team as we head into the stretch run of what, again, could be a Super Bowl year?
I'm buying it big time, Jack, because I didn't think this defense would be anywhere near where it is. And I know for a lot of this run, it's been they haven't played anybody. But if you look at Cincinnati's offense and you look at that Washington team that came in, I think is the number two scoring team in football going into the game. To do what they did to those two teams, you know, I get Detroit's going to be a different level. Baltimore's going to be a different level if you play Detroit. Those teams are going to be a little bit different. But I'm buying it because of the defense. I thought the offense would be where it is. I really did. I thought if you got legitimate coaching and, you know, that mess that was last year out of the way, the offense is going to be fine. But their defense being what it is, to me, is the difference maker. You're also seeing what garbage they had as coordinators last year.
Bad look for Matt Patricia, for sure.
Shocking. Good luck getting a gig.
I would say in terms of, you know, how legit are the Eagles, and we talked about this a little bit earlier on the afternoon show, that I do think we underestimate the pedigree this team has. And I know that doesn't mean that when they play the Lions in Detroit, it'll matter they went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. But what it does mean is this team is battle-tested. Like, they really are. They have been the favorite. In 2022, they were, you know, the best team in the league all year. They got to the Super Bowl. They almost won it. In 2023, they obviously dealt with, you know, some drama, I guess I would say, off the field. But they've been through a lot, and they have emerged from it. So, are they playing as well as Detroit? Probably not, but I think they are right there with Detroit, if not ahead of Detroit.
Well, I think the other thing, too, just to piggyback on that, Jack, is do we lend enough credence into the whole Super Bowl thing? You'll be getting there the year before and losing.
Last year, yeah.
Generally takes, unless you're the Chiefs, it takes a lot out of you. And you look at what's happened to San Francisco this year. I mean, between poor play, injuries, it just weird stuff happens, man.
Yeah.
And I think there maybe that's a little bit
of it. What I think is so interesting, because Rob, it was this time last year when we were here.
Yeah.
It was Burrs the bye last time.
That's right.
And I remember you came on, and it was just right before they were heading into the gauntlet, and you said, I think they're going to lose 3 of 4. And I think you and I both have the same sentiment that it didn't feel right.
Yeah.
It didn't feel right. And I don't feel that with this team. I think that we have questions, certainly, that we'll get into. But last year they felt fraudulent. this year's team hasn't felt that.
Well, I think part of it is, and this can be overrated sometimes, but you know, we talk about identity and all those kind. I don't know what last year was. Last year's identity was you were able to win ugly, and that can be a good trait, but it wasn't just winning ugly, it was smoke and mirrors. I think with this team, we see what it is, man. They can run the ball. They can defend. You know, if the passing game can really get it going, they can beat you in a lot of ways. I don't know that it's the blueprint for what they want. I think they like to throw to get a lead, run to milk the clock, but they can still do that, and that's what reminds me of 17 and 22. They could just take clock down and end games on you with big drives.
Yeah, I mean, that's a major change from last year. You think about how many games last year they lost at the end, right? Seattle, they're not able to kill the clock. They win the game. The Jets are not able to kill the clock. They win the game. The Cardinals, they couldn't do it. Like, so many times, the Patriots almost lost that game. Having Saquon has been a major difference. But also, you brought up the Super Bowl hangover thing from last year. You know, now that we're removed from it, and they're 8-2, and that's over. If you look at, like, the time of Nick and Jalen of running this team, Nick is head coach, Jalen is quarterback, since really the first five games of 2021, at the end of 21, they were 7-1. 2022, they dominate the entire season. 2023, they start 10-1. This year, they're 8-2. It's really just that stretch of games where all teams that lost the Super Bowl the year before struggle. We're seeing it with the Niners right now. When they haven't been a dominant winning football team. I know it wasn't pretty last year, but Jack, you ask, like, why should they be legit, or what makes you believe in them? Because all Nick and Jalen have done over the past 3 years is mostly win all the time.
Yeah, I still think, and Rob, I'm curious where you're at with the quarterback. If there was one thing that's given me more cause for pause, it's not Nick Sirianni's decision making, because that can also almost be taken out of the game. I mean, Nick Sirianni, you could, if you want to be a hater, you could say he's essentially done nothing in the game the last 2 weeks.
That would be a major hater.
I would never do that.
You would never bring that up.
I would never bring that up.
Glad you're just doing hypotheticals.
Certainly not from you, yeah.
Certainly not from me.
Always had Nick's back.
But Jalen directly affects everything on offense. Do you need more out of the passing offense for this team to be a Super Bowl contender?
Here's what worries me, Jack. You can do the slow start thing against Dallas.
By the way, Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson are officially here.
Yes, and by the way, if you are headed down, all tips from our guest bartending will go towards the Travis Mannion Foundation, by the way. So, but Jack, here's the thing. You can do this kind of stuff, these slow starts against Dallas and Jacksonville and some of these other teams. And you were able to overcome it against Washington. When you're in a playoff setting and it's Detroit or it's somebody else, that's the big question for me is, if he's not on, he being Jalen, can you still overcome that? Can you put this much pressure on your defense? Can you put that much pressure on Saquon to be a home run hitter in the second half? That's what it amounts to for me.
But one thing, though, like, Jalen doesn't really get blown out. Like, if you take away the Todd Bowles games.
But he also keeps games close.
But to Rob's point, I'm saying, I understand the fear of going down 14-0 to Detroit. Like, you're in Detroit. Detroit comes out red hot. I get that. Yeah. It just doesn't happen often to this team. And while Jalen does start slow, he's also very good at not letting things snowball on him throughout the game. Like, very rarely does Jalen, from snap one to the end of the game, like, just completely, you know, play poorly. So I definitely agree with your concern that, can they play from behind? If they're against Detroit, do they fall behind quickly? Because offense struggles and the defense maybe isn't all there. We just don't see it often.
No, I agree. And I think his greatest trait is his amnesia.
For sure.
I think he is spectacular at next play, man.
Yeah.
And whether that's a bad one or a good one, I don't think he's gloating, and I also don't think he's down on himself. He just moves on. And you have to have that in that league. And that is a reason why, no matter what happens early in certain circumstances, at least you know his head's going to be right.
Yeah, he's not going to fold.
Right.
He's not going to fold. And to his credit, even though I've been a detractor, in big spots late, it hasn't always been throwing. It's more been running.
He's a playmaker. He is. He's a playmaker more than anything else. He's not going to be – I mean, we all know what he is. It's not – and I'm glad he's not a statue, but he's not a guy who's just probably going to pick you apart with his arm. He gets it done anyway. I think the most underrated play of the Washington game is that run.
Yep.
Where he breaks a couple tackles and still gets the first down.
Well, he did that against Jacksonville, too. It was, what, 3rd and 6?
Absolutely.
And that's one thing I think we don't give him enough credit for. There's no quarterback in the league that's run for more first downs than Jalen Hurts. And I know you go the tush push, but I don't think that's it. Like, there are a lot of times on third down where either the play's not broken, the play's broken now, maybe he's the one messing up the play, right, by not getting the ball out or whatever. Regardless, he does get big first downs.
And I think the other thing that we tend to do, we naturally hyper-focus on Jalen.
Yes.
Every week, there are stud quarterbacks who miss plays.
Well, golf through five picks.
Right. Think what the city would have burned down if that happened.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's also just because we're in the fishbowl with Jalen.
Yeah. Rob, I think the most heated debate we ever got into.
I know. Elliot just triggered you.
Yes,
you
he
too?
Did. Well, me and Rob, mostly aligned.
Yeah.
But we got into blow for blow about the tush push.
And it was
the dumbest argument. It was fun. It was just so dumb.
It was fun and dumb, and it was on the post-game show. We forgot about – I don't even know who they played. All I know is we argued for 15 minutes, a whole segment about the tush push.
Yes. Has your opinion on the tush push changed?
No, I still love it.
No.
He hates it. I love it.
I mean, there should be an asterisk next to every one of his rushing touchdowns. They're not impressive, and it needs to be counted against him.
It's an absurd take.
You're trying to hurt a team just because they do something well. I don't get it.
Well, how much does it hurt you?
Here's where I've adjusted on my tush push take. Don't tell me to be impressed. That's my take on it.
Well, do you find designing one of the most unstoppable plays in the history in the NFL impressive?
It's a 1 yard play.
Is it a critical play? How many plays do you think have resulted in more touchdowns in the history of the NFL than the tush push?
Is Nick Sirianni going to bring it up on his Hall of Fame speech?
That he should.
Might be on his tombstone.
It's going to be on his resume, right?
Inventor
of
Wouldn't you put it on there?
Of course.
It's like how people talk about Bill Walsh and what he did for the game.
The West Coast offense.
Yeah, the tush push. It's similar.
Yeah. Rob, Nick Sirianni, we kind of brought him up a little bit earlier. I think if you ask the Eagles fans, two things that, not holding them back, but could cost them in a possible Super Bowl chase, it's Jalen starting slow,
yep.
Jalen maybe not making enough plays in the passing game, and it's Nick Sirianni's decision-making. Where are you kind of falling on Nick Sirianni as we're staring at again? He's 8-2 at week 10.
I'm much more pro-Sirianni than a lot of people.
That's why you're the GOAT.
Yeah, I mean, as Elliot pointed out very aptly, all the guy does is win. And I think the other part of it is, too, I don't think he's interfering. I don't. I think he's allowing his coaches, with natural input that a head coach gives, to do their thing. And I think it's helping them flourish. I think it's helping Vic flourish. I think it's helping Kellen Moore flourish. And if you listen to the players, and we all can read through the BS sometimes, read the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
These guys truly believe in this guy. I do. I think that's a big part of
it. It's a huge part.
I think the best thing he has going for him is that they get mad. They take it personal when people start ripping on
them. I agree with all that, but I think what we're doing here and what I think happens too much with Nick is it does become a discussion about, like, the intangibles. Like we always do with Jalen, right? Like, when early on in his career, well, he's a great leader and he wins. But, you know, Jalen does do a lot of good things on the field. I think Nick as a football coach gets underrated on what he actually does for the team. If you look, since 2022, in one score game, so points decided by games decided by 8 points or fewer, he's won 80% of them. No other coach in the league is above 72%. That doesn't happen because of just culture. That's game management, how he uses his timeouts, like all those things. So, you know, and look at this year. Jalen was struggling, and they went from more of a pass-heavy approach early. After the bye, they went back to, like, the 2021 style of offense. Kellen Moore wasn't here in 2021. Right. Like, you know, that's a Nick thing. So, I definitely think he deserves credit for the culture, but I think as a result of that, sometimes we diminish what he actually accomplishes as a coach.
And I think one other thing to that. As much as sometimes the histrionics can drive us crazy, I think he's totally willing to put his ego aside and adapt to whatever he has to do. I do. I mean, like, giving up the play calling his first year.
Uh-huh.
Like, all of those kind of things. Hey, it's pretty obvious Saquon Barkley is just out of his mind. So let's be a running team. Whatever, even though we ideally like to be something else. I think that part of him, sometimes coach's ego can get in the way a lot, and I don't think that's Nick.
Yeah, well, that's the ethos of the afternoon show. You got to check your ego at the door.
That's your influence.
That's exactly right.
And to your point, like, sometimes people will paint that as he got it taken away from him. I know someone that has brought up, you know, maybe
he might have gotten neutered at the press conference.
But like, I don't think that's the case. But let's just say it was. Why is that a bad thing? Like, if Nick is...
The only thing that's a bad thing is that people view that as he's the puppet.
But if the players don't, then it's okay. Like, if we view it that way or the public, that's okay.
Yeah. I just think there is something admirable in a league so when people are so power hungry. I mean, look at Chip Kelly, right? Like, we've seen people in this city that are unwilling to give up any type of power control, and it's been their downfall. Nick is clearly, to your point, Rob, willing to listen to other people and does not have an ego, or at least a detrimental one.
If I wanted to play devil's advocate, I could point to the Saints game and the Jags game as him trying to put his imprint on the football.
See, but
game.
I don't think he was. Like, he's always been an aggressive coach on fourth down and in these situations. I would bet you every single time they've gotten a penalty that's brought it from the 2 to 1 on the 2-point conversion, they've gone for it. So I think the this like narrative that he was trying to put his imprint on the game, I think he's just coached how he always has, but since they didn't work, they stood out.
Let me throw one more in there, Jack, because we've seen it in other cities where a coach or a player just gets swallowed up. And Philly, we all know, can be a challenging
sure.
town.
Yes.
I think despite the weird stuff that went on with the Cleveland game, he handles the ebbs and the flows of things pretty well.
Well, he shaved his head.
And it, hey, man.
A fresh start.
Keep doing it.
Fresh start.
Hasn't lost since he brought his kids to the podium.
Now, is there anything that it would bring you to that? Are you willing to do that under
a radio bit?
Shave the head?
Yeah. For content, yes.
See, I don't think you should.
I don't think.
Elliot can't.
Yeah.
You would let too many people
but
down.
But here's what I'd say. Like, I have such a good, healthy head of
exactly.
hair. It would grow back quickly.
Yes. Yeah.
But, nah, I don't think I could do it. Now, Jack has teased at doing it a few times and yet never
yeah,
seems
so,
to end up doing it.
See, I think
it.
Jack's hair would grow back very fast.
Easily.
It also wouldn't be that big of a deal, to be honest. You basically have a shaved head.
What does that even mean?
I'm saying you
have full mane.
Your hair
is short.
You have short hair. It's not like you gel and do your hair. Like,
nah,
you just,
well, I've had the same haircut since I was like a kid, essentially.
I don't think it would look that different if you shaved.
So I definitely would have shaved my head. It's just there wasn't enough momentum behind it.
I agree.
And it's already kind of been done by
you.
It's
got
to be something else.
Well, and like the stupid midday show here, again, they stole our bit and they shaved Kyle Quinn's head. All they do is steal our
he's already got a
that
buzz.
That's what Kyle Quinn, listen, you're in the minor leagues. We'll get you to the big leagues one of these days. 215-592-9494.
Strays, baby.
What if Nick goes for it on a key fourth down in the Super Bowl and they win it?
Well, then Nick's going to get – he's going to be shirtless at the parade.
My God.
Would you shave your head?
Yeah, dude, I don't care. Hey,
can you see him at a parade?
Oh, it's going to be the crazy.
Dude, imagine him giving the speech.
Whoa.
It's going to be Kelsey times two.
I actually think he'll almost be too energized.
He'll start spazzing out.
You might have to have, like, Big Dom just kind of calming him down.
Oh, the victory lap he's going to take if they win the Super Bowl.
You start naming people. Yeah. It would be phenomenal.
Won't catch my name on there.
You did not at all? Not at all.
Some clown named Jack Fritz.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Well, I have made the point that I am more qualified to coach the Phillies than he is to coach the Eagles. I played a sport at the higher level. Oh. He's a Division III player. I was a Division II player.
But he played all 4 years, didn't he?
Yeah, but I got a scholarship. Anyway, so we are live at Cheese and Feast in South Philly. Lane Johnson's here. Jordan Mailata is here. Everyone's having a great time.
See Ike back there pouring some sauce.
Ike, Ike's a heavy pour.
A little Ike juice back there.
We got Rhea back there pouring wine.
See them all?
Yeah, this is good. We're raising a lot of money tonight.
James is here.
James
see
is
James.
Somehow James is here. All the guy talks about is how tired he is.
He's here.
And they got him out of bed for this?
That's how you know. It means more.
Hashtag it means more. Yes. Robbie, how would you – let's say they played on a neutral field.
Yeah.
What would the line be, this Eagles team versus the 22 team?
Oh, versus – I thought you were going to ask me Detroit. 22 would be minus 4.5.
Are we sure they're better?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I think – I would
because Jalen was better.
Was Jalen better?
Yes.
I think Jalen's a more complete quarterback now than he was in 2022.
I don't think Jalen's playing poorly, Elliot, but I think he played better in 22 than he's playing right now.
Well, I think he had less on his plate. Like, he wasn't doing any of the pre-snap stuff. And I think Jalen watched all the games. I agree. I think he was more flash.
He looked special in 22.
But I think he's doing more this year. Like, he's handling all the pre-snap stuff. That's like... That's a big deal to me in terms of his development.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. 22 had a more consistent pass rush. I love this defense.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I could count on guys to get home sans the Super Bowl in 22.
Sans the slippery field.
Yes.
But I think if we'll agree Jalen, you know, maybe better in 22.
It's close, though.
But, like, the Saquon thing is a big deal.
That's
having Saquon on this roster versus not 2022, I mean, they had to bench their starting running back, essentially, in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I think the Saquon of it would maybe make me lean this team.
Okay.
Well, and, I mean, obviously the edge rusher is not close.
Yeah.
I mean, Redick had, 17.5?
Yep.
Hargrave had 11?
They were the second all-time sack leading team ever.
But
Brandon Graham had 10.5 sacks this year. There probably won't be a player on the team this year that... That's 10 sacks.
They won't. Yeah. They won't.
You gonna choke up thinking about 22?
Yeah. And this just
and what we do forget a little bit. I think we're so caught up in how great Quinion is.
Yeah.
And Coop, dude. James Bradbury was he second team All Pro?
He was a different human being.
And now, yeah. Elliot, when is James Bradbury coming back from the knee injury to play safety?
Key part of the roster. I think he's providing some good veteran leadership on the team. I mean, he's got the best job in Philly right now, right? Other than working with you two.
Yeah. Linebackers.
Making $11 million just to
Dude, it's rehab. Unbelievable. T.J. Edwards, Kaiser White versus N'Kobe and Zach Bond.
I'll take this bunch.
Same.
I'll take this one, too.
Yeah. I think Zach Bond's more of a playmaker than those guys were. Yeah. They were good players,
Agreed.
But Zach Bond makes game-changing plays.
Dude.
That fourth down hit he had on Jaden Daniels, I haven't seen a linebacker hit
Elliot,
on that type of play in a while.
He makes, like, two spectacular plays. The diving pass breakup
yep.
is I love T.J. Edwards. He couldn't do that. And that tackle was a great play.
Yes. Well,
B.G. in the house.
B.G.'s in the house. What in the world were the Saints doing with him for 3 years?
I'm asking myself, if I'm the owner, right?
Is that why Dennis Allen got fired?
Well, that's number one zillion why he got fired. He should have never been there to begin with to start the season.
Yeah.
But
they were doing what Howie wanted to do with him.
Yeah. I mean,
I know. And then Vic Fangio's like, I don't know.
But props to Fangio, man. Because and look, if he isn't here, Fangio can't do what he wanted to do with him anyway. So Howie gets the ultimate credit. But for Fangio to see that this is what this guy can do. And I'll say this from the jump. He told us that basically I inherited Devin White. I want no parts of Devin White. This guy's the starter.
Yeah.
I was team Devin White.
You were team Devin White.
Sorry, Elliot. It's okay. It's a
tough loss for Elliot.
He's getting snaps in Houston.
215-592-9494. Fred 6 alongside Elliot Shore Parks and Robbie E. We're taking you up to 7 o'clock live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson, Travis Mannion Foundation, BG here. All your favorite WIP hosts and personalities. Hanging out, celebrity bartending, of course, raising money for a good cause. On the other side, some thoughts on Saquon Barkley and our former coach is having a tough time down in Jacksonville. We got to play some audio. I'm starting to feel bad for the guy. No one handles a tough season quite like Dougie P. We'll play some of that audio coming up next on Fritz at 6 on Sports Radio 94 WIP. That's right. It is Birds of the Half. Fritz at 6 alongside Elliot Shore Parks. Rob Ellis, so many Eagles chants. We are live at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Travis Mannion Foundation, Lane Johnson here, Brandon Graham here, Jordan Mailata, your favorite WIP personalities, celebrity bartending, and the tips go to the Travis Mannion Foundation. Crab Fry proceeds, they go to the Travis Mannion Foundation. So raising a lot of good money, and we're having a good time, per usual, down here. Now, I want to bring this up because it's not a problem yet, Rob, but I think at some point it's going to be a problem.
Okay.
He's got his eye out for this.
Is Saquon touching the ball too much?
Here we go.
And it's so hard because in the game it's like, we got to win. We got to hand the ball to Saquon. But they do run the risk of running Saquon Barkley into the ground.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't, Jack. I mean, seriously, we're killing Sirianni and Kellen Moore if it's heavy Kenny Gainwell early.
Listen, Kenny's
and they
been,
get into Ken, a hole.
Kenny's been cooking.
Kenny cooked in the last game, or the offensive line cooked, somebody or both. But my answer is no. My answer is no. I want to ride this train as far as I can ride.
You're not worried about year two? Year three
no.
of Saquon?
If they can win a Super Bowl, I don't care if he hits a wall like James Bradbury did after 2022.
Or Christian McCaffrey.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the right way. I do. I just, man, if he just would have started his career here, which is obviously not possible, this guy's a Hall of Famer. He is so...
He still might be, Jack.
He should, yeah. I think
got a chance.
He's clearly off talent, a Hall of Famer. Like, he's more of a Hall of Famer than Phillip Rivers or Matt Ryan, who were just, like, stat compilers for a long time. Like, Saquon is a special player. But in terms of whether they need to rest him, give him less touches, I think the scary answer, which is the true one, is, like, it's really just... It doesn't matter. Like, it's kind of out of their control. They could give it to him four less times a game. He could still get hurt, right? It's not like you're going to all of a sudden rest him for a few games or only have him touch it one or two times. They need him to win. So I understand the question, but there's nothing really you can do about it. Like, you have to play him. You have to, and you just have to hope he doesn't get hurt.
Well, the only way you can do it is early. I mean, if you're in any semblance of a game, how are you not involving him?
Because I think they did try it. I think the Saints game, remember, he had five touches before the half. And then the Bucs game where, you know, Lane was out and AJ
was
out,
Devontae.
You must throw that game away at this point, given how they've bounced back.
But I'm sure that's how they view it, too. I don't think they're watching that tape.
But I got to tell you, other than the Bucs game, they're a Saquon catch away from that being the only loss.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, I hear that. They also, like, the Packers can catch the ball. Jalen has five picks.
So I will say, too, about the Saquon thing, that obviously I understand over a season there's wear and tear and all that's true. But when Saquon has talked about this, I think he makes a good point, which is it's more about like the quality and how the touches go as opposed to the number. And he really doesn't take big hits.
Yeah, it's like Westbrook in that sense.
Right, like, you know, you just don't often see him do it, A, because he's quick, but also, I mean, he's stronger than most, like, linebackers that they're going against.
I've been so impressed. I always thought he's more of a finesse guy up in New York. I mean, he's a top.
He's everything.
He is. He's a total package.
I mean, thank you. Me?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, you're
that's Ruben Amaro Jr., isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
No, but, I mean, the hardest shot that I can recall him taking all season was the insane play that he makes.
And he got popped.
He got popped on, like, the top of the back.
Yeah.
But other than that, knock on wood, I don't remember a whole lot.
And I thought it was important. He looked banged up in the Jags game. I thought he was going to work on this. And he came right back and was fine. He was back to being Saquon.
Here's a question, and I can ask you guys, because just us three talking, obviously everybody, you know.
No one's focused on us here.
Yeah, no one's listening to us right now. is Saquon bad for Jalen's development? Like, is it helping Jalen that they can lean on him on him in the running?
I just think Jalen is what he is.
Yeah.
And if he's going to be your quarterback, you have to get talent around him.
This is the second time they've leaned to a run-first offense when Jalen was struggling.
I forget. I mean,
are they better off just having him fight through it?
What was 22? Just like overall breakdown-wise, because I don't remember it being run-heavy, but his numbers are about the same.
Wasn't to this degree, I don't think, in terms of run attempts. The Eagles are like, aren't they like a crazy, like...
I think Baldy was on earlier. I believe he said they have 98 more rushing attempts than passing attempts.
That's a lot through that, yeah. I think they passed it more in 22 than they have.
But they also were blowing teams out. Like, they were... Jalen sat the fourth quarter in six games, I think.
So they ran it 544 times in 2022. And this is great radio. In 2024, they're up to 364. So they'll probably run it more times this year.
Yeah, I think
that probably includes playoffs, I would think, the 544.
To answer your question, I don't think he's hurting his development. I agree with Jack in that I think this is what you have to do with him. Like, when we were earlier in the year searching for people to point fingers at, and we were saying, look at the way that they're managing this. Is this Nick trying to have his thumbprint on the offense? I think it was Jalen's shortcomings. I don't think it was Nick. I think Kellen Moore wants to do certain things that Jalen can't do. So you need to have a stud running back with him.
I agree. And look, I think they should do whatever helps them win, because this team has a chance to win a Super Bowl, and I still think Jalen is playing well enough that they could win a Super Bowl with him. But it is something I've been thinking about over the last week. Like, the fact that they are a run-first offense is not exactly great for Jalen fighting his way through problems he may have and working through them.
Sure. You're right.
Sure. I mean, but also, had they kept doing it the way they were doing, Nick's 100% on the hot seat.
Yeah.
And right. Who knows what Jalen's feeling.
And you got to weigh wins versus the quarterback's development. You just got to hope that, you know, the two just kind of meet somewhere and you survive it.
What would their record be right now if let's say – Swift was still here or Miles Sanders is still here?
Oh.
Well, they don't win the – I don't think they win the New Orleans game.
I don't know that they win the Packers game.
He had three touchdowns in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been that good. I mean,
that New Orleans game was such a turning point for this season.
Big time. Defensively, too.
Well, but just think about this. They were 1-1. It was 3rd-and-16, like 50 seconds to go. They were staring defeat in the face. Mm-hmm. Next week, they weren't going to have A.J., Devontae, or Lane. Maybe they play if they lose. Who knows? But probably not. I mean, 1-3 was a very real possibility. And you thought it was ugly after they beat the Browns. If they would have gone in that bye week 1-3, I think Nick does survive it, but I don't think it's a sure thing. So, I mean, this season was that close to slipping away.
A 5-yard crossing route to Dallas Goedert.
61 yards.
I think they have two more losses, Jack.
Yeah.
I do.
I mean, he's been that important.
I do,
which
too.
Is shocking for a running back. But he's – because the offense, I think, without Saquon looks generally the same.
Yeah.
As last year. But you add in Saquon instead of DeAndre Swift, who I thought left runs on the left yards, at least, on the table.
Yeah.
He's been that – much of a difference.
Isn't this also where you give Howie props, where he's ahead of the curve and reading where the league's going? Because it is going. It did trend back to the running back.
He finally listened to the afternoon show.
Exactly.
We tried to do
all he ever needed.
We tried to do Bijan or bust. And we begged for Saquon.
Listen, some have said he's the biggest fan of the top five at five.
I heard somebody saying that.
Long list of top fans.
The most listened to segment on the afternoon
Today's
show.
Was killer, by the way.
Thank you.
What was today's?
It was Jack ripping the afternoon show.
The
naturally,
show, yes.
Oh, well, Joe was here.
The morning show. Morning.
Yeah. Well, we had to play the audio of Richie crying, which is still the most unbelievable audio.
That whole top
Can we
five
just
at
play
five
it now?
Was a ruse just to get the Richie crying in.
Often that's what it is.
Yes.
Is we just... I'm just looking for one punchline.
But it doesn't matter how you get there as long as you get there.
As long as we get there. So, yeah.
What has to happen for Saquon to win MVP?
He has to play quarterback.
Well,
there's a short answer.
Well, last year, McCaffrey was legitimately in it. And then I think Lamar won six of his last seven.
Yeah.
And he destroyed the Niners out in San Francisco. He would need Josh Allen to fall off. I think Josh Allen might have, at this point, solidified as much as you can with that run on Sunday and beating the Chiefs. Because outside of Josh Allen, Lamar's in there, of course, but also I don't know what that team's going to be. They might even win their own division, which I don't think you can win the MVP without winning your division. He could have a case if Josh Allen falls off.
So I think he needs to, and this is obviously a high bar, which is what it's going to take from him. He's not that far off the pace of the all-time rushing record. I think he's like 200 yards off the pace, if my math is right. If he sets the all-time rushing record, I think then you have something tangible for the voters to hold on to of like, okay, this was a special year. Now, it's silly because he's clearly having a special year. And if he finishes 150 yards short, it's not like he was considerably less special. But, I watch for that. Like, over the next 2-3 weeks, if he has big games, that's going to come up.
His odds are still really good.
Well, I think two things. not to trigger you, Jack, but not scoring the touchdowns in some people's eyes may hurt him, which is bogus.
You should have your vote stripped.
Listen, I'm agreeing with you. I'm telling you how stupid some of these people are.
I know, and that's what's frustrating.
And the other thing that plays into that is we've all watched Mahomes this year. And I believe me, I'm not telling you come playoff time he can't just all of a sudden flip it on a dime. And he can. But he has not played well this year.
No.
But yet people will still, it's Patrick Mahomes, they're like robots instead of really paying attention to what somebody like Saquon is doing.
Yeah. Listen, all that has to happen is Jalen's got to check his ego at the door. We don't need to do a first down tush push on the goal line.
I don't think that's why they can
hand it to Saquon. All right, well, I have some more thoughts. I want to do some quick hitters with Robbie E. Not necessarily just the Eagles because, you know, Robbie E's a sportsman.
Oh, we got the goat here.
Yeah. But I do want to play this. So Doug Peterson.
Is it John Ritchie?
Doug Peterson, when things are going bad, Doug doesn't exactly handle it very well. I don't know if you've seen this, but the first piece of audio here is Doug when asked about if he's going to give up play calling.
Is play calling something that is up for potential change that you're evaluating right now?
Gosh, I really wish. Everything. Let's just put it this way. Everything's on the table.
It's just like, I wish I could tell you everything.
It's a true leader speaking right there.
It's like...
We think Nick's bad at the press
conference. About a rallying cry.
And then how did he survive this week?
I know. Him still having a job is a miracle.
Well, I'll say this. The Jaguars aren't important enough to fire Doug. Like, Doug has won a Super Bowl. Who do the Jaguars think they are to fire him in season?
I like that he's still calling the Jaguars.
He clearly should stay the rest of the year.
The other phenomenal part of this is...
They fired Urban Meyer in, like, four games.
Yeah, Urban Meyer doesn't have the legacy Doug does. Well,
how about the rumor
not
that Trent Baalke might survive because he's buds with Belichick?
Yes.
What in the hell? How does that guy possibly survive?
He has nine lives.
It's unbelievable.
He's got nine lives.
I know Tom Brady went to Tampa, but if
Belichick cannot end his career.
If Belichick ends his career in Jacksonville, that is, like, you can forget who's better, Brady or Belichick.
It's crushing.
That would be an embarrassing way to get that single season wins record or whatever it is.
It's a desperation
all time,
And this piece of audio I actually think is worse, and I wish you could see his face. This is Doug when asked about the comments made by Shad Khan before the season.
Who told Shad that this was the best team ever assembled? I mean, I can't imagine that him being away from them, that he just decided that on his own.
I don't know. I'm not privy to those conversations that Shad has or who's he talking. I don't know. I can't answer that.
All right, let me defend Doug here. Are we still going with the bike?
Well, no. I think at the end it says, it wasn't you, was it? And Doug goes, no.
Oh, okay.
No.
So What a weird question that was. First of all,
I respect it though.
it was a kind of insightful, inciting question. It's basically, and he's the guy's right. It's basically Shad couldn't come up with this possibly on his own. Someone must be telling him this.
we all know Shad doesn't care about the Jaguars, so somebody had to tell him.
Weird.
Well,
also, Doug's gone.
Remember,
he's gone.
Before the Eagles won the Super Bowl, didn't Doug say it was the best roster he's ever had?
Yep. He did say that.
So this does have Doug's fingerprints written all over it as like something he would say.
It sure does. So Rob, a lot of people have been talking about the Eagles. And it was a lot of the topic of conversation on the station today. It was the Lions are in a class by themselves in the NFC. Do you see it that way, or do you think this is a two-horse race?
I don't think they're in a class by themselves. I think they're really good. The Eagles are right there with them. Yeah, I think it's a two-horse race, 100%. I've been on the, hey, don't bury San Francisco, and I'm still kind of on it, but man.
Man, Debo's punching the
Debo's punching the long snapper, and Purdy's now potentially hurt, and I don't think McCaffrey's right. It just feels like there's a lot of stuff going on. You get past them, and look, I respect Green Bay, but I know what Minnesota's record is. Who else scares you? I mean, really.
It's really you give, I guess, credit to the Niners for what they've done, but also we saw it happen to the Eagles last year.
Yeah.
Coming up, and no team has gone back to the Super Bowl.
Sam Darnold is like Case Keenum 2.0.
It is. It's the same thing.
It's same place.
It's the same freaking thing.
So I got a question for both of you guys, if you don't mind. Does watching what's happening in San Francisco with the – we got PG in the house.
PG
in the house showing up. See, like, everyone just wants to see Rob. That's why he's the GOAT.
Yep.
Does watching the culture problems in San Francisco happen this year make you feel differently about what the Eagles went through last year?
It does for me, Elliot. It does. Yeah. I buy it. I think it's harder when you lose, when you expend
100%.
All of that mental and physical energy to climb back up. I really do.
I think it shows that maybe the problem wasn't like Nick or Jalen or the locker room. It was... They lost the Super Bowl because the same exact thing is happening in San Francisco.
Yeah. Well,
and I think the one thing that people would say is the difference, I guess, between the Eagles and the Lions in the NFC would be the Goff factor. Like people put Jared Goff in a tier that, like, even for me, they're basically the same quarterback. Jalen does more with his legs. Goff can lose you a game with his arms.
Yes.
He's not really, you know, changing much. Congrats on running an offense.
Yeah.
Goff versus Hurts. Where are you at?
It's a tough one.
Yeah, it's especially tough at home. If they're in that dome, I might lean Goff. If it's in Philly, I'm leaning Hurts. I don't want to jump off of that, Jack, but I think one other thing that we have to point out with Detroit, losing Hutchinson is huge.
Yeah. He was going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, that's not – and I know they made a couple moves to try to, you know, supplement that. I'm sorry, man. At some point, that could really catch them. And in a game like the Eagles, that could be a difference maker.
Well, and the other interesting component, because I agree, the Aiden Hutchinson thing is a big deal for Detroit. But the interesting component of the Jared Goff and Jalen Hurts thing is I think Hurts is better off script than Goff is.
Agreed.
And a lot of plays in the NFL are off script. Like the protection breaks down, the receiver slips, the route does whatever. And so while I think Goff, if everything is right around him, I think is a better quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think Jalen over in one game is more likely to make a game-saving play.
He's
going
to find a way to get. He's going to find a way.
He's a scorer, not a shooter.
True.
Jack.
He's a winner. That's why quarterback stats is the most important stat.
That's
quarterback
exactly
wins.
Right. Yes. So Elliot, you're heading out to L.A. You're
I am
7:30 in the morning, Robbie. Be at Chickie's at the airport and get greeted by Elliot.
You ready for this? I will beat Elliot to the airport because I'm flying to Mexico tomorrow.
Whoa!
6:30 flight, baby.
Little vacation.
6:30 a.m. Wow. Yeah.
Little vacation to Mexico.
Little 3-day quickie. Boom. In and out.
Wow. Love that for you.
Yes.
Love that for you.
Yes.
How do we see this weekend going down, Elliot?
For me or for the team?
I think you're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
Although I've never been to L.A. Is it overrated?
So, honest to God, I think L.A. is a little overrated.
Yeah, it seems too big, a lot of traffic.
It's too spread out. It's hard to get places. Like, I would rather live in Arizona.
Yes, I think if you're doing L.A., you do one of the beach towns. You do Hermosa Beach, Manhattan Beach. Downtown.
What about Muscle Beach? You there, Rob?
I'm there every day, Jack. I never take a vacation from Muscle
Skinny
Beach.
Skinny Jack could be there now.
That's good. That's right. Six-pack Jack. That's what we call him.
Fans of Philly has us up in Santa Monica. So on the beach.
So you're in a good spot.
Hopefully I come back nice and tan.
You're going to look beautiful. But
I think so. Thank
but
you.
Eagles-wise, listen, this is when you're looking for tests with this team still, it's this game, it's the Ravens game, and the Steelers game. You know, the Commanders game, we'll see. We'll see where that team is by that point. But how do you kind of see this one shaking out, Elliot, as you're going to be out there?
I think they'll win the game. The Rams are just the definition of average. Like, their defense has a really good front four. Their back seven is really bad. Their offense obviously has talent, good coach, but they're 21st in the league in points. So part of it's been injuries. They've missed guys for a few games. But I just think the Eagles are better on both sides of the ball. I think they're better coaching staff-wise. And let's be honest, it's going to be mostly Eagles fans there. Like, every time I've been to L.A., it is mostly Eagles fans. So I think they'll win the game.
I will say this, Jack. I wouldn't sleep on this team. They've won 4 or 5 since they've gotten healthier. So I think it's a very competitive game. And, you know, I think the Eagles win ultimately too. But the fun thing for me in this game is going to be watching the young Eagles defensive backs against Puka and Kupp.
Yep.
Because the two of them, and I know they faced other good receivers, McLaurin and Chase, et cetera, but the two of them, I think, are going to present some unique challenges with McVay's mind. So that part's going to be fun.
And it could be the game that decides Defensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, Jared Verse has obviously been the front runner, but Quinion's got a mix and a pick.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have a single one yet, right?
Yeah, which is a shame because he's had like three off his hands.
Well, that's the problem, right? When you're a phenomenal defensive back, they don't go near you.
I know.
And it's hard to put numbers.
Just like Nnamdi.
I think the other important part of this game is it makes the Ravens game not as important. Like, look, I think the Eagles probably have to win out, maybe lose one game to get the number one seed. Detroit's playing well. They have some tough opponents. But if you go in L.A. and win and move to 9-2, like, the Ravens game just becomes a little less important, and I think that's a really tough game. So winning this one, I think, is critical in, like, A, making sure you keep the two, but then keeping heat on the Lions for number one.
Agreed. All right. Their schedule's soft, the Lions.
Robbie, I need you from a put-this-into-perspective kind of situation here. Who is the best rookie amongst these four? Jared McCain, Miechkoff, Quinion, DeJean.
Quinion Mitchell.
He's pretty special.
Yeah, to do what he's done this immediately, like, you see it with the other guys. I take nothing away from him. But to jump in from day one and be the shutdown guy, and to me, you can take the rookie part out of it. He's already elite cornerback.
Yes.
He's already there. So I'll take Quinion.
How does this team go 20 years without being able to draft a cornerback?
And you get two in the same
year. To getting Quinion and Cooper.
They only
the same
draft him in twos, it feels like.
Yeah.
Lito and Sheldon.
People forget.
Yeah. No, but they're special. These two, they're both special, but Quinion's numero uno.
What to Watch For is brought to you by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig.
It's making me miss the Phils.
On the go. Oh. I know. Listen, I got a Phils thing for Rob before we get out of here.
Good. Yeah.
But
I'll chime in.
We're watching for... You don't have to, please. But... I'm just kidding. Yeah, I would love your input.
I know you would.
Sixers, Memphis tonight. What's your gut tell you about the Joel Embiid effort that we get tonight? And what was your reaction to the story from the other day?
All right, I'm going to keep it short. You're going to get tonight. He's going to play great, and they're going to win. Okay, Ja's not playing either. Yeah. So they'll win tonight.
And Zach Beattie's not playing.
Yeah, and he'll put up a 25 spot, and he'll be peacocking in the locker room. What's going on the entire year? And I'm going to take it back to August. Him playing in the Olympics was a flat-out disgrace. Mm. And that there were people who thought he was going to go there
and learn something
and glean some leadership after 10 years in the league is patently absurd. He is the most immature four-year-old. And still to this day, even when Tyrese Maxey, who's a kid, has to tell him, we need you to show up and be on time for anything because you're late for everything. Okay, it's an absolute disgrace. He doesn't get it. He's not going to get it. This is who he is. He's crazy talented, which means they're going to make a comeback this year, and they're going to be in the playoffs. I don't think they miss the playoffs, but he doesn't get it. He'll never get it, and they won't win it with him.
Is he going to go down as the biggest waste of talent in Philadelphia sports history?
Here's the problem, Jack.
Elliot.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer because he's won an MVP, but in terms of winning, there is something that's not there. There's a level, there's a gear that he doesn't have.
So LA's not handling this.
No, game. Look, as always, I agree with everything Robbie you said. Like, I agree with that. And I think every Sixers fan should be furious right now. But, like, there is a sadness to this, too. Like, Joel is probably the most talented player to ever wear a Sixers uniform. Doesn't mean he's the best, just in terms of pure talent. He might be the best to ever do it. He's won MVP. And what this signals is the end of that.
Yes.
Like, I actually, where I disagree with you, Rob, I don't think he's going to turn it on this year. I think there'll maybe be a game or two or, you know, 4 or 5 where he looks awesome. I think we're set for a season where it is going to be depressingly clear he is cooked. And while I get people being mad and showing up late is like the worst thing he could possibly do, it is sad to think how talented this guy is. And it's probably going to be remembered not as a fond experience for fans.
Well, two things, Jack, and I'll put a bow on this, I promise. But how insulting it is to a fan base who's been more loyal than any fan base could possibly be. You put them through hell for 4 years, okay? You've been made generationally wealthy. You just signed an extension, and you can't show up on time for a shoot-around?
100%.
It's embarrassing.
Well, and he can't show up in the season ready to play.
Yeah,
what was he ramping up for?
What was the ramp-up?
I'm also sick of the ramp-up. Like, every year we have to wait 4 or 5 games for him to play well. It's ridiculous.
You had
like,
a whole
He just played in the Olympics.
Yeah.
His surgery was back in, what, January? I think the depressing part of this is his knee is cooked, and it's over. Like, the team is in some serious trouble for the next few years.
And the organization has no qualms straight lying to you. Just straight up lying to you.
Yep.
It's just awful.
So it has come down within the last hour that Zach Wheeler did not win the Cy Young, which means we don't respect, I guess, finishing the marathon. We give it to people who get close.
Like Chris Sale.
Yeah, who pitched 23 less innings than Zach Wheeler.
Well, here's the other part. Do we talk enough about him being a Hall of Famer?
Chris Sale?
No, Wheeler.
There's an article today, actually, on Baseball Savant about how he's going to have a case for it.
Jack, this run, since he came to the Phillies, and if he stays healthy for the extent of the extension that he got, I don't know how he's not.
Oh, in totality. He's been the best pitcher in the NL for 5 straight years.
Yes.
Well, he's also someone with, in the Phillies sports world, we probably don't appreciate enough.
Agreed.
Like, when you talk about the best athlete in the city, Zach Wheeler has to be in that conversation.
Every single time he takes the ball in a postseason game, he's dominant.
He's a monster. Like, he has Schilling kind of postseason numbers.
Yes.
Not obviously Schilling won, but
obviously, Bryce is the face of the team, and Schwarber is awesome. Like, Wheeler is their best player.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, as a baseball guy, I appreciate watching him be able to pitch.
Before we get out of here, Robbie, where are you at on the Juan Soto? Not happening. Probably not. But overall, Phillies, we're not going to run it back.
No, Jack, nor should they run it back. I heard Ike when I was driving in, and Ike thinks this group is past the I don't think that the window's closed, but you need to make a significant enough change to shake it up. You need a hitter. I know Soto would be perfect.
Of course.
You need a hitter who's going to get on base. You can't get a Tyler O'Neill type. You can't bring that guy in. That's not what they need. They have a million of those.
Well, the other thing Soto brings is, like, if you sign a Bregman or whoever, it's a good addition. But Soto, if he were to be the top of the lineup, I think does signify a true, like, culture change,
yes,
different lineup. Like, so I think you get that benefit if you sign him.
I hate to say it. I think he ends up a Met.
I think so, too.
But I don't totally discount the Phillies in this.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But they have to shake up the core.
They have to.
They have to shake up the core.
All right. It can't look the same.
That's going to do it for us. Thanks to everyone that hung out. We're still going to be hanging out for a little bit. Lane Johnson's still here. Jordan Mailata's still here.
Brandon Graham's still here.
James Seltzer somehow still here. A miracle. A miracle.
Gilio's here.
Gilio's here.
Yeah. We got all the guys.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks, guys, for hanging out.
Pleasure.
Fun
Jack.
Hour. Thank Robbie, you.
Good
seeing you.
My pleasure.
Elliot, I see you all the time, but it's always a pleasure.
Always good to see you.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Hey, have fun at the airport at 7:30 a.m. Shots on Elliot.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Honey Jack, 5 shots. Yeah.
5 shots before the flight. That's going to do it for us. Caleb, who's coming up next?
Tom Kelly.
Tom
TK.
Kelly.
Ah,
TK reeking of positivity.
I'm sure
next.
He's psyched about the impeach situation. Yeah.
Sports,
I'm going to get my Odyssey app
on
out.
Sports Radio 94 WIP.